Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
And I do salute the mothers in this church, the women in this church that do what you do. God never intended for you to do everything you're doing. He permits it, but He did not intend for that to be your role. You're doing too much. God said, I will therefore that younger women marry. I heard somebody talking. It was in my back pocket. Technology is a real problem. It's a blessing, but it's a real problem. God never intended for you to do everything you're doing. He said this would be enough for you, that you would marry, bear children, and guide the house. We have women in this building that do that. And on top of that, they are the breadwinner in their house. God never intended for you to have to do that. And so I double salute you for what many of you are doing. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months, and when he could no longer hide him, she took him for an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. That's Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Talking about the same person in Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respected the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about three mothers in history. One of these is Jochebed. Called her Jochebed all these years, and I just went, the internet is so wonderful to see how it's really supposed to be pronounced. It's actually Jochebed. I've been saying it wrong for 50 years. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, the mother of emancipation, that's what she was. If it were not for her, Israel could very well still be in slavery today. If it had not been for her, the Jewish people could have forever been in slavery. We're all familiar with emancipation, setting free. We are prime examples of that in this country. I saw them tearing down the statue of Abraham Lincoln. Whoever was doing that was ignorant, I can tell you that. Because if it were not for him, this country could very well still have, as a law, slavery. This is an amazing man. The Emancipation Proclamation, or Proclamation 95, as it was known, was a presidential proclamation and executive order issued by the United States President Abraham Lincoln on September the 22nd, 1862, during the Civil War. The proclamation read that on the first day of January in the year of our Lord, 1,863, all persons held as slaves within any state or designated part of a state, the people whereof shall then be in rebellion against the United States, shall be then thenceforth and forever free, and the executive government of the United States, including the military and naval authority thereof, will recognize and maintain the freedom of such persons and will do no act or acts to repress such persons or any of them in any efforts that they may for their actual freedom. This is the Emancipation Proclamation. It was brought about by one man, Abraham Lincoln. Similar to what Moses did for the Hebrew people, the Jews, when he led them out of the slavery of Egypt, about 3 million of them, between 2 and 3 million, a similar number to the slaves here in America during the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln was an amazing man, but he was influenced by a great mother. he most likely would not have had the courage of his convictions as an emancipator had it not been for the influence of his godly mother, by all reports a spirit-filled Christian. I read in history that she spoke in tongues. Abraham Lincoln said about his preachers, he said, "I like a preacher to preach like he's fighting bees." He got that from his mother, a real spiritual experience. What is amazing about that, she died when he was 9 years old. She only had 9 years to influence him. In 9 years, this lady, Nancy Hanks Lincoln, influenced her son in 9 formative years so greatly that he became the emancipator that we know in the United States of America. He said this, she died when he was 9 years old. "I wish I knew what she said to him, because I would preach it every Wednesday and every Sunday. I'm not nearly as good a preacher as there are mothers in history and mothers in present. Some of you do more every day than I try to do, even being a pastor and a preacher." Nancy Hanks Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln said this to her, about her, even though she influenced his life only for 9 years. "All that I am, or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." That's what he said about his mother, and she died when he was 9 years old. The same could be said of Alberta Williams King, Martin Luther King Jr.'s mother. Martin Luther King Jr.'s sister said this, Christine King Ferris. She wrote in her memoir, Through It All, "Every now and then," she said, talking about her brother, Martin Luther King Jr., "every now and then I have to chuckle as I realize that there are people that just believe that Martin just appeared. Suddenly he was there." She said, "I laugh about that. They think he simply happened, that he appeared fully formed, without context, ready to change the world. Take it from me, his big sister, that simply was not the case. Martin Luther King Jr. was a product of his parents and mostly his mother's teaching and experiences. My mother confronted the age-old problem of the Negro parent in America, how to explain discrimination and segregation to a small child. She taught me that I should feel a sense of somebody-ness, but that on the other hand, I had to go out every day and face a system that stared me in the face every day saying, 'You are less than, you are not equal to.' She told him about the slavery and how it ended with civil war. She tried to explain the divided system of the South, the segregated schools, the restaurants, the theaters, the housing, the white and colored signs of drinking fountains and waiting rooms and lavatories as a social condition rather than a natural order. She made it clear that she opposed this system, that I must never allow it to make me feel inferior. Then she said the words that almost every Negro hears before he can yet understand the injustice that makes them necessary. 'You are as good as anyone.' At this time, Mother had no idea that the little boy in her arms would years later be involved in a struggle against the system she was speaking of." Dr. King often spoke of the positive influence of his mother and the effect it had on his moral development, deeming her the best mother in the world. He described his mother as being behind the scene, setting forth those motherly cares, the lack of which leaves a missing link in life. He said, "The difference between me and other men is I have a connecting link, and they have a missing link, and that link is called mother." It could be said about Nancy Hanks Lincoln. It could be said about Alberta Williams King. And it could be said about Jochebed, the underappreciated mother of Moses. They are the missing link. Jochebed, the mother of Moses. Moses was a great man, but he was influenced by a great mother. I've chosen to call her the mother of emancipation, the mother of deliverance, the mother of freedom. The deliverance of God's people from slavery is attributed to Moses, but without the influence of his mother, there would have been no stalwart Moses. There would have been no emancipator. They would have stayed locked forever in the terrible, abusive Egyptian slavery. It happened because of a mother. The ideal is that great children be nurtured and shaped equally by father and mother. That's not always the case. Some children have become great because of their father, but many have not. But sadly, in spite of their father, many have become great. There are, however, more rather than fewer cases where children have become exceptional, not in spite of their mother, but because of their mother. In the trying circumstances of the 21st century in America, it is especially true here in America today. In the era of single-parent households and absentee fathers, the message today is not to chastise or condemn any mother in the house, but rather to encourage, highlight, and influence the influence of a godly mother. Some people would like to talk about the abdication of motherhood in America, and that's the source of all of our problems. I'd rather talk about and highlight those exceptional women that in tough times, because motherhood has always been tough. It's the toughest job in the world. It never ends. Whether your child was born yesterday or whether your child is 38 years of age, motherhood never ends. And there's never been a time, where motherhood is so difficult as it is today. Because of the public school system, because of entertainment, and because of social media, it's never, ever been this tough before. And some of you are doing an amazing, amazing job. Mandy, my daughter-in-law, and Brandon are doing an amazing job. And I'll tell you the reason why they're doing that. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Becky Finner did an amazing job. I was so busy trying to build this church, I feel like I neglected my role, but Becky did not neglect her role. She raised two sons that both of them live for God. The key to that is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know where they are and you know what is influencing them. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. The king's commandment was that every male child that was Hebrew that was born be killed. But they resisted the murder and the abortion. This was the first case of wholesale abortion when Pharaoh ordered that every male child that was born be killed. And yet they resisted that because the Bible said they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Great mothers protect their babies from death. Great mothers hide their children in formative years. We're familiar with the story of how Moses' mother Jochebed took that baby and put him in that little basket on that river and protected him. And we are familiar with the story how that his sister went and said, when the baby was discovered by Pharaoh's daughter, she went to her and said, "I can find you a maid, somebody that would take care of it." And when he actually got Moses' own mother to be the Hebrew servant that would care for him. And so that's the state now. Here he is in the care of Pharaoh's daughter. She is going to make him the heir to the throne of Egypt, but God has arranged that his own mother would be his caretaker and his nurse. She did not have every moment with him. She had to look over her shoulder to see if Pharaoh's daughter was near and listening. She had to constantly be aware that she would be exposed as the child's mother. But yet she was able to instill in him such amazing truth of who he was. That's the first thing a real mother has to do, is instill in that child who he was. I suppose my mother was not perfect, but I can tell you this, she always made me feel better about myself. Always made me feel like I was somebody. That's the first role in motherhood. And Jochebed was a perfectionist in that. She made him realize who that he was. I don't know the lessons that she taught. I would to God that I had the lessons that she taught and I could form them into Bible studies that would make this church what Moses was, because Moses was what he was because of what Jochebed taught him in Pharaoh's household. And ladies and gentlemen, we are living in Pharaoh's household. This is Pharaoh's world. He's controlling everything. And if you can bring a child out of this school system, out of this entertainment, out of this culture, and let them be a man or woman of God, you are a miracle worker, an amazing woman. And yet there are people that are doing that in this church. And I salute you, but it is a real job, a real task. Nearly impossible, but not quite impossible, which is the way all things of God are. Miracles are nearly impossible, but not quite impossible. Rearing children that are godly in this day and time, it's nearly impossible, but not entirely impossible. Jochebed put something so strong in Moses that he was forever affected. He grew up in the bosom of wealth, in that climate of influence. You talk about having some kind of special favors in his life. He had everything that you could want: the clothes, the food, the influence, the prestige, the privilege. It was all there. And it came not from Israel. It came from Egypt. It's an amazing thing that he could accept the privilege of Egypt and yet not be contaminated by it. There's a tremendous lesson for us to learn as a church. Let us accept the privilege of this culture and yet not be influenced by it. It's an amazing balance that we walk. I have to be thankful every day. You know, some people are just so negative. If I preach the news, I will join the throng of preachers that are negative. If I preach the culture, I will be a proponent of negativism. But friend, I have to look at this world and see the sad shape that is in, reach out with them a message of hope, and yet come back to this pulpit and tell you about the goodness of God. For the Bible teaches us that God not only gave us abundant life and salvation, but through his divine nature, he gives us everything that pertaineth to life. You are supposed to be victorious in everything that pertaineth to life. Jochebed was able somehow to communicate that to this little boy, to where he grew up, and he grew up with the favor of Pharaoh's household, of becoming the grandchild of the richest man in the world, heir to the throne. And yet this woman infused him, somehow indelibly imprinted on his heart who he really was. And I urge you to work a job. I urge you to get a big paycheck. I urge you to drive a nice car. I urge you to live in a nice home. I urge you to partake in the things that are around us, but somehow it cannot contaminate us. I do not know the sermons and the lessons that Jochebed taught Moses. I wished I did, but I do know that when he came to age, the Bible said this: he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. That's an amazing thing. That meant that he was refusing the fame and the wealth that was incumbent upon him by his adoption by Pharaoh's daughter. He said, there is simply a higher calling. I just wonder today, do we keep ever in our mind that we are a unique, called out people? We are in this world, but we are not of this world. I'm not concerned about your physical race. I'm not concerned about the pigmentation of your skin. I want to know one thing. Do you know that you are of the divine race? That you are a higher people? Have I been able as a pastor for 46 years to convince you who you are? That you're not a grasshopper? That you're not a beggar? That you're not normal, you're abnormal, you're not natural, you're supernatural. You don't belong to a Caucasian race or an African-American race. You belong to a divine nature race. Your name is Jesus Christ, and all the things that are around you are just momentary and temporal, but praise God, you are plugged in to an eternal purpose and an eternal calling. And while millions of people, according to the Word of God, wide is the gate, more will be lost than will be saved, according to the Word of God. And are you aware that you are in that small minority of people that are called and chosen and faithful? And you might be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but you know better than that. You are a child of the King. You are a descendant of Almighty God. And so the culture has not contaminated you to the place that you think this world is all there is. You realize it's just temporary at best. If you were to live in the dimension and make $1 million a day, it simply would not matter. Do you have a desire to be like the richest people in the world? Or do you pray for them with compassion and say, pitiful poor people they are compared to me, because I have the riches that cannot be contaminated by this world, cannot be stolen by the thievery of this world, cannot be ended by death. I am rich beyond comprehension, rich beyond description, because I am not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I am a spiritual Hebrew. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And every person that is a Christian has to somehow develop the ability to say no. No to illicitness, no to drugs, no to sin, no to the debauchery of this world, and say, I am simply above that. I don't know much about my family on my father's side, just a little bit, but they tell me that my father's uncle was a judge in the little town of Iola, Illinois. But they said that he was also an alcoholic. He would try courses. He would try courses in the courtroom by day, but at night they would find him laying in the street drunk. He was an alcoholic and a judge. And they say that somebody went to him one day and said, Judge, you simply can't be both. You've either got to be a judge or an alcoholic. You can't be both. He said, it's just beyond you. And they said that that man spoke to him so effectively that my father's uncle, which was a judge, stood up, dusted himself off, and never drank another drop again as long as he lived. I wished I had that kind of influence to you, that you would realize that you can't be both. You are a child of the living God, but you're not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You are different than the people that you rub elbows with at work. You're different than the neighbors to the right and left of you in your subdivision. You're different than your cousin that never came to God. You're different than your in-laws. You are a special, special people, and God has called you for a higher purpose. And somehow Moses knew that because of what his mother had instilled in him. And that is our role. The Bible said Jerusalem, the church, is the mother of us all. And so a good pastor pastors like a mother. He loves them. He rebukes them. But most of all, he instills in them the truth of who they are to make them want to have a behavior pattern. It's not because of fear, but it's because of who they are, that God has pulled them up out and God has chosen to elevate them. And God has called you a solitaire, a special, peculiar people. That's who you are. And every day you need to look in the mirror and say, I've got to go out as an ambassador of Christ, because I'm not a son of Pharaoh's daughter. I am an amazing person placed on this planet for such a time as this. And I've got a role to influence my children, to influence my peers. I have a role to be an evangel to this particular generation. And it's a tough job, but I'm up to the task, because God has equipped me, for greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. That's the role of the church, to be the mother of us all, to instill in you on the last row and the first row, to those of you that are active, to those of you that come Sunday or occasional Wednesday, to instill in you that you are not the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You're better than that. You have now been bought with a price. You've been sealed by the Spirit of the living God. You have received a special blood transfusion, and the blood that runs through your spiritual veins is the blood from Emmanuel's veins. You're in the world and not of the world. You have a different way of going, a different way of talking. You respond differently than the world does because you are different. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the Bible said that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And number one, he chose God's people. There are so many Christians that I don't need to go to church. Yes, you do. I can give you 50 reasons why you do. One of them is, it is an outward showing that you choose God's people. I've got to meet with a man today at 4 o'clock. He said, can we make it earlier? I said, oh, no, I can't make it earlier. I go to church every Sunday. He said, every Sunday? He don't know I'm a preacher yet. I said, not only every Sunday, every Wednesday and several other days in a week. He said, that's amazing. Oh, I want him to know that I have chosen God's people. I've chosen you not because you're Caucasian like me. I could care less about Caucasians. I only choose people that are God's people. I don't care what your race is. You're closer to me than people that are Caucasian that are not born again. I can tell you that right now. You are my brothers. You are my sisters. You are my family because we are of that heavenly race. I have chosen God's people. And everybody that becomes intimately involved with this church, that is something you have to do, is choose God's people. I don't care what color you are. You've got to love me like you love your own family. I love you like I love my own family and beyond that, my family that is not saved. Because like Moses, I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I have chosen God's people above the world. I don't know how that got instilled in me. Maybe my mother. Maybe because she drug me off to church about 3 or 4 times a week. It finally gets in your brain. You believe not what's right. You believe what you hear the most. If your family tell you're stupid, you believe that. You believe. I know people that think that they're not as smart as other people. And when I'm around them, they are extremely intelligent, but they don't recognize they are because their family told them, their mother, their dad, you're a stupid little kid. You're a stupid little kid. And they said it so many times that they believe that. That's the reason why you've got to really get around good people. Get around good people. Rex Johnson, my friend from Austin yesterday, called me on Mother's Day. I don't know whether he knows it or not. I'm not a mother. I don't know whether no or not. He's not a mother. But he called me to wish me a happy Mother's Day. And all he did was brag on me. And then he got through bragging on me. He bragged on this church. And then most of all, he isolated Becky Fender. He said, Becky Fender is the most amazing woman. And he talked about all of her ability. He said, she literally has the greatest voice. And he keeps telling the story about how he walked into the Spurs game and he heard somebody singing the national anthem while he was still out in the corner. And he said, that's Becky Fender. He didn't have a clue she was in the building. But he said, I recognized her voice. And he talked about her. You say, well, why is his friendship important to you? Because he builds me up. Anybody that tears me down, he is their replacement. Hey, you better get some replacement people in your life. There's going to be some people that hate you and are jealous of you and are critical of you. If your mother didn't do it, find you a new mother. I want to tell you, and I hope she doesn't mind, Tammy writes me little notes on social, and she always signs it, your daughter. That's one of the greatest things, Tammy, that happens to me. I want to be your father in the Lord. I don't know anything about your father, but I want to be a replacement father. I want to encourage you. I want to strengthen you. I want to tell you how wonderful you are. I want to tell you what a Christian you are, but not for her. I want to be a replacement father for everybody I can be in this congregation. If you didn't have a father that lifted you up, I want to be that father. That's the reason why I cannot come to this pulpit and tear this congregation down. Friend, I have chosen you. You are God's people. I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I don't know who all had an impart in my life, but somebody somewhere convinced me that I'm something special. That I'm in the hand of God and God won't never throw me out and nobody can pluck me out. I am convinced that I'm saved, sealed, and delivered. I am convinced that I am walking with the Lord. I am convinced that God is not ashamed of me, but he's proud of me. I'm convinced that God said about Job, as he says about me, have you considered my servant Steve? Oh, I can tell you right now, Brother Warren Inman, I have never met a greater Christian in this world than you. You are simply an amazing, amazing man. And every time I think of you, I have warm thoughts and good thoughts. I don't know much about your father or your family before I met you, and you've been here a long time, but I want to be your father. I want to tell you you're a great son. You're a great husband. You're a great Christian. You're a great man. You're a great influence on this community, and sir, I salute you. Get people in your life that will be replacements for people that have failed you. You can't hang on to failures in your life. I don't care how close they are. Blood can replace them with somebody that will make you understand how important you are in the economy of Almighty God. Number three, Jochebed helped him understand the value of a reproach of Christ. When people laugh at you and make fun of you for being a Christian, or they're condescending toward you because you don't drink and you don't carry on and you don't go to the clubs, you ought to say, there is a value of the reproach of Christ. Number four, I'm hurrying. He comprehended the recompense of the reward. He understood how profitable it is to be a Hebrew. He understood how profitable it is to be a Christian and to be a follower of Jehovah, to be a child of Jesus Christ. I understand the recompense of the reward because he blesses me every day. Somebody has said, if there was no heaven, I'd live for Christ anyway. That's a stupid statement because there is a heaven. But I'm living for Christ every day, and every day I understand the recompense of his reward. I want to tell you that COVID-19, I believe, was a product of the devil. Whether it started in a Chinese laboratory or somebody eating a bat, I don't know where it came from. It's not important where it came from, but the important thing is to realize it became an instrument of the devil, because the devil's main message is what? Fear. And he has literally paralyzed a world that is in fear. But one of the recompenses of reward that I do not live in fear, but praise God, perfect love has cast out fear. And either way, if I live, Jesus will be with me. I only have two options. If I live, Jesus will be with me. But if I die, I will be with Jesus. That's the only two choices I've got. And when you get that, praise God, fear will leave you. Fear will leave you. And I will say to you, in this church, I give you information. God does not give me the ability to be your dictator. Even God will not do that. God does not dictate to you. You have to serve him with a free will. And so as a pastor, I give to you not dictatorship, but I give to you information and motherhood and coaching and encouragement. Please do the right thing. I have no mechanism to talk about your giving to the church. I get around pastors. I read in magazines that only 17% of born-again Christians tithe. Oh, they want to talk about that 83% that do not. I don't even think about them. I don't think about them in this church. What I am amazed is that so many of you work so hard, and without any duress at all, you write checks every Wednesday and every Saturday and every Sunday, and now you do it through the social media and just keep giving to this church. You are amazing. Well, what about the ones that don't? I don't think about them. I just think about you. You are simply amazing. You are amazing in your prayer. You're amazing in your giving. You're amazing in your attendance. What a family we have. It's because you somehow have been instilled with the recompense of the reward. You know it pays to be a Christian, that every day God blesses you. Every day he blesses you in ways you don't even know, that you don't even see, hidden blessings. The devil trying to do anything, things against you, and God slapping him and saying, not today, devil. You're not going to touch her today. Now, God does that every day. But then one of these days, and Rose, our wonderful Rose, how many people know Rose? She's just such a wonderful person. She went to be with the Lord. She's in heaven today, and we're going to be having her service next week here at the church. But what a wonderful, wonderful lady. One of my favorite people, one of Becky's favorite people that we ever knew was Rose. I mean, when she reached out to touch you, it was just like you were being wrapped up in love. I loved her so much and still do. But praise God, she was blessed in so many ways. She has a wonderful son and just so many things she was blessed with. But oh, this week, this past Thursday, she stepped into that great reward. Friend, I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because I understand the recompense of reward. It's payday every day, and then one of these days, it's going to be big payday. Oh, here was a man that changed the history of the world because of his mother. And so when you talk about them, and I've got to quit, there's so much more I would like to say about this today. I got pages and pages of notes. But when you talk about the great men of the Bible, the great men of history, if you talk about Moses, you talk about Abraham Lincoln, you talk about Martin Luther King Jr., it goes back to a mother that was able to influence them. And I would ask that God would influence Pastor Brandon and myself as we continue to lead this church, that this church would be the mother of us all, that we would somehow be able to implement in you, instill in you, the real values of life, that you're able to say no and say, I understand the part of being God's people. I understand the recompense of reward. And so I will be a person of totally different behavior than this world. Somebody said, I heard him say on Christian television, Christianity has nothing to do with behavior. Somebody needs to slap that guy. It has everything to do with behavior. The Gospels are simply the record of Jesus' life. The book of Acts is the birth of the church. But from the book of Acts to the last verse in Revelation, it's about behavior. And that's what every mother is concerned about, the behavior of her child. And that's what every pastor should be concerned about, the behavior of the congregation. And say, well, if they don't do so-and-so, I'll do so-and-so. No, that's not it. It's a pastor's job, and it's tough. It's as tough as motherhood, the toughest job in the world, to instill in people from this little pulpit, to instill in you the truth of God's word so much that you want to be a Christian, that you want to be a great mother, you want to be a great father, a great son, a great husband, a great wife, a great Christian, a great citizen. You just want to be extraordinary because of God's power and God's love. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. You just go through the pages of God's word. Paul shaping Timothy, which would become the church, would become the pastor of Ephesus eventually. But as Paul shaped Timothy as a young preacher, sitting on the front row of his church, and he would remind him, Timothy, you're great. Because your mama was great and your grandmother was great. They had great faith. It was in them before it's in you. Hallelujah. And I want to help every one of you and realize, particularly on this Mother's Day, mothers, that you are so important. You are so very, very important because you are the conscience of America, the conscience of the church, the conscience of your child. A man stood one day with a gun pointed at a teller in a bank, his first bank robbery. And he said, fill the bag with money. She filled it with money, and then he shoved it back over. And he said, I can't do this. I can't do this, he said, and he started crying. She said, what? He said, I can't rob this bank. He said, my mother's dead, but I just heard her voice speak to me and say, you can't do that. Yeah, I give it back, call the police. They let him off in handcuffs. He stood in front of the judge and told the judge his story. And the judge said, I give you a suspended sentence because the voice of your mother can do what our penitentiaries cannot do. It's so important. Mothers, you are so very, very important. If there's somebody in this room tonight, you don't have, or today, you don't have to be a mother at all, but just